Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much for making this opportunity. We pray that you, anoint our ears and our eyes and our understanding, Lord, concerning all of this, and are prepared for these things that are coming down the road. We thank you so much for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to talk about the persecution of the true church. Many of these are old revelations that we've been bringing out that are very good. The first revelation I'm going to share is Tribulation War on the Saints. Diana McElroy. 11/10/2009 had this, okay? I dreamed that I was walking down the street in a city, which I believe is Babylon, and outside of a large building, I saw a sign that read, Christian Prayer Meeting Inside. And I believe that this is the harlot that we're looking at right now. I thought that it would be great to fellowship with some other Christians and proceeded to walk inside. It was very dark when I walked in. It was taking quite a while for my eyes to adjust from the light outside to the interior darkness. Well, the Harlot Church lives in darkness, so when you go in there, you're partaking of it in many cases. As I was walking down the hallway that I entered, I was walking slowly because I couldn't see and I didn't want to bump into anything. At the end of the hallway, I suddenly realized that I had walked into a pool hall, which I think represents a competition for position. That's what pool is, basically. Rather than the auditorium. And I had been expecting, I stopped walking and looked around. Right when I stopped, I noticed everyone in the pool hall had turned and was looking at me. As I looked at them, I knew that they were all demon-possessed. And I also knew that they wanted to kill me. Spiritually speaking, that's what the harlot does, you know. It was evident that they had been luring Christians into the building with the express purpose of killing them. They wouldn't call it killing them, but in the spirit, that's what's happening in the Harlot Church. The words that go forth are deadly. They are demon-possessed and bring death to many through seductive teachings and anointings. Revelation 18:2 says, And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and is become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and hold of every unclean and hateful bird. Well, Proverbs 2:16 says, To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth, that would be Jesus, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. And verse 5:3 says, For the lips of a strange woman drop honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on Sheol. As I started to back up, I realized that a few men had stepped in behind me to stop me from leaving. Yes, they'll do anything to lure you into sticking around and receiving more of their baloney, I would say. They will do anything to keep you there. There was a pool table that was to my right, so I stepped behind it. feeling a little more protected with the wall at my back and the pool table between myself and my would-be attackers. They wouldn't call it an attack, you understand. They think that they're helping you, but it's all with their mind, and their mind is under the influence of demons. They started walking towards me full of venom and menace, and I picked up a pool cue off the table and was holding it in a defensive manner. Well, you know, fleshly defense will not help, and we'll see that in a minute. Suddenly, my attention was drawn to the man at their center, their leader, Satan himself. They don't realize that. Satan is depicted in Isaiah 14 and 4, 12, 13, as the king of Babylon, who exalts his throne above the stars of heaven, which are the seed of Abraham, the saints. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay, it went on. There he was, as big as life, looking very pleased and wearing a green golf shirt. I think they said, confirming for me my long-held suspicion that only Satan could be responsible for that game and its hold over people. Green is, the color of Satan's save the planet, kill the people, politics that are taking over, and golf, again, is a competition for position. That's what they're all doing. They're competing with one another and with one another's religion and so on. It's not a competition. It's a coming under submission to the Lord, right? I knew that if I could stop him, all of his minions would also be stopped. So I boldly looked at him and said, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. He chuckled and said, it's not as easy as that, girlie. I thought to myself that if I resisted him, he was supposed to flee. He just laughed and motioned for some of his people to get me. Well, our words have no authority if we resist in the flesh, which is what they were doing. If they approached, I suddenly looked down at the pool cue in my hands and put it back on the table. I instead lifted up my hands to the Lord and started praising and worshiping Him. As I was praising and worshiping, thanking God and thanking Jesus, it got lighter where I was standing. Well, Psalm 149 and 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. And obviously that was what was happening. I felt no fear, only peace and happiness. The demon-possessed tried to attack me but couldn't reach me. As I wondered about that, I noticed an angel on either side of me, preventing anyone from touching me. I knew that I was safe as long as I praised God and didn't physically defend myself. Yes, fleshly physical defenses hinder God's defense, because he said, my power is made perfect in weakness, right? Then I woke up. Okay, that's pretty clear. Here's another dream, same person. A new hotel had been built in town. It was quite big, particularly for the small town that we live in. It was built in the shape of a U, three stories tall. The bottom part of the U was facing the street and the entire length of the longest block in town. I knew that there were some structural problems with the building and a big fire was coming. Because of the building problems, the building was going to go up like a giant tinderbox. Well, possibly the U stands for the United Religions of the World coming into unity to persecute the saints, as the Sanhedrin did in Jesus' day. That was all the denominations together, you see. They persecuted Jesus and his disciples. So history just repeats. It was the hotel's grand opening, and it was almost full. Well, a hotel is a community of people joined house to house. Isaiah 5 and 8 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there was no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate." So the harlot system is going to be burnt up. Even greater and fair, without no inhabitant, no one, in other words, no one will be left out of this united house, but God's true people. They will be united against his people. And notice, a big fire is coming to this unity. In Revelation 17 and 16, the beast of 10 kings hates the harlot and burns her with fire. Yes, they just need the political backing, you know, to get in office. And after that, they don't really need that harlot. There was a meeting in the conference room on the top floor where all the investors and authorities were. And I went and walked into their meeting and tried to tell them about the problems and the coming fire. They were all old men and didn't listen to a younger woman. I had the impression of looking at the painting of the founding fathers of the U.S. when I first walked in there, and they had shown me to the door, as it were. Well, the pride of the harlot's leaders will not permit them to learn anything that their denomination does not teach, just as in Jesus' day. And one thing that the corporate denomination of denominations in Jesus' day was sure of is he was a threat to them. I thought that I couldn't let all these people die just because the leadership wouldn't listen. I started going through the halls, knocking on doors, and telling people that the place was going to catch fire and they needed to get out. Yep, come out from among them, right? Revelation 18 and 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Therefore in one day shall her plagues come, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her." Notice God used the beast to judge the harlot. Even though the harlot, you know, was riding on the back of the beast at first, you know, she was thrown down and burned, right? Some people listened. They grabbed their stuff and left. Some scoffed at me and went back to their TVs and their beds. And on the bottom, maybe even basement level floor, some people in the room wouldn't come to their doors. They didn't speak the same language that I did, and so they didn't understand what the knocking and shouting was about. Well, that's the way of most of the people in the harlot. They are blinded and deaf, you know. Zephaniah 3 and 9, "For then will I turn to the peoples a pure language. Many apostates, by the way, on the bottom level of Christianity, do not have spiritual understanding of the prophetic language of Scripture. And that's why Jesus made it a prophetic language. He hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. Just as I ran out of the hotel, it burst into flames. Well, I think this represents great tribulation is about to overtake the Christians on all levels of the harlot. I turned to look, and all floors were engulfed at one time. There was no escaping this inferno. It was so sad at the thought of the people who wouldn't heed the warning and died. Just as I thought I couldn't bear the grief, God said to turn around. And when I turned, I saw people standing in the street, many in their pajamas. So some listened, right? They came out from among them. He said, rejoice for those who were saved. Yes, indeed. That's the ones the Lord is after, right? This next one we called Conspiracy Against Christianity, Brent Gearhart in 2009. I dreamed on day 4 of a fast that I saw a man running naked with just a robe on, barely covering him. Well, the marginal Christian leadership is not dressed up with Christ-likeness. They name Christ as Savior, but they are not walking in the fullness of the Word. And their carnal doctrines and shallow faith do not cover them. And they're appointed to the time of tribulation. Then I saw a woman running behind him wearing a black, scanty outfit. They were running to make an appointment somewhere. Well, the typical church pastor followed by the people in darkness. The woman is a church in darkness without true works of righteousness. They are the ones who will have their names blotted out of the book of life, as it is written, Revelation 3 and 4. But thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Then I saw the same man and woman dressed up in formal dress, but they had disguises on, now to appear older and distinguished, of course. Outwardly, they seem respectable in formal black and white attire, but they profess the light while walking in spiritual darkness, and they're playing the part of maturity, but they cannot deceive the Lord's true people for long. They were trying to enter a formal party of some sort, but for some reason the invitation they had was fake. Yeah, it is. The formal party is the marriage feast where the bride and groom feast on the Word of God, just like in Jesus' day. Those that were huddled around Jesus, they were feasting on the marriage feast, right? But the imposters have disguised themselves as Christian, and even those who do not have the real wedding garment. Matthew 22 and 8 says, then shall he send Seth he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. When they approached the person who collected the invitations, the man started saying something to distract the ticket collector so they wouldn't pay attention to their fake invitation. It worked. They were granted admittance to the party. Well, that sounds like something we know about in scriptures, right? Christian pretenders talk the talk in order to gain respect and acceptance. They have experienced only the fake invitation, kind of like accept Jesus as your personal Savior type invitation, instead of repent and believe, which is what the Bible says. But this lukewarm Christianity is not dressing up for the tribulation 7-day wedding feast, right? Matthew 22:11 says, "But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment." How did you get in here? Fake invitation, right? "And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Well, when inside, I remember watching them split up right away, and it seemed like the man was looking for some information, some files, perhaps, or some film from a camera. Well, they have no interest in the feast, but are conspiracy chasers and many apostates. They want to find out what's wrong with you, right? They're not listening to receive, right? I remember seeing a little key, like for a padlock or handcuffs. Well, instead of seeking the key to freedom, they find only captivity. I then saw them in the basement, and I saw the man got caught and was about to be killed, perhaps by the owner of the house. Well, I believe that's Jesus. He's the owner of the house. And he will cast them into outer darkness, as he said. The basement under the house represents hell, where the wicked are destroyed. As they were down in the basement, the owner of the house took back what the first man had stolen and then planted a bomb in the utility room. Then he tried to blame it on the first man who got caught. Well, you can tell these imposters, their leaders, are at fault for their own destruction, like Jesus did. But they rarely believe you. You can't tell them, hey, your leaders are leading you to destruction. So right after the bomb went off, security came in. Security, I believe, represents the angels who enforce the law, which is the Word of God. And I saw my friend, Terry, from the UPC. That's the United Pentecostal Church. He knows martial arts, and he was taking the man down who was being blamed for this false terrorist attack. Well, Terry represents the authority of the UPC, which is the United Pentecostal Church. The angels are strong to keep order in the World Pentecostal Church. The whole church is supposed to be Pentecostal. All of the church is commanded to be Pentecostal, filled with the Spirit, so they can hear the voice of God and follow Him, right? But they don't want that. They fight against that. I remember seeing Terry take this man down with an arm lock of some sort. He had one arm spread out, and he had the other arm locked in with his legs, and it appeared the man who got caught looked like he was in a crucifixion position. So they will bring the fake usurpers to their cross. Will it do them any good? We don't know. Some people repent and some do not. The man who got caught was looking at me to help him. I said, hey, I'm staying out of it. And I remember picking up some pieces of the room that were blown apart, right? Well, the true Christians know that these people must go to their cross to be saved. They have to go through the judgment that they brought upon themselves. You know, they won't repent. And then a vision and a prophecy began. Then I laid back down and I saw myself in a field harvesting the crop. I felt impressed to go get my notebook and pen and write down what I saw or heard as I was reaping the crop. I see a man come and talk me into stopping the harvesting and taking a break. I see myself taking a break, eating and drinking and dancing with the others. Oh my, that sounds something scriptural. Matthew 24 and 38, for as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two men be in the field, one is taken and one is left. I then saw the laborers taken up by the Son of Man as he came on the clouds for them. So this person took the break, but the laborers were taken up. Those who were laboring in the Lord's field, right, were taken up. I saw the others get put into a wine press and squeezed. And I heard, this is the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Which of course comes for those who do not bear fruit, right? And for those who fought against the truth. I was asked which group I wanted to be in and said, the laborers. He said, then you must die to self without complaining like you were today. There will be many days that you will work more than 12 hours and have little time for your family. These days are coming soon. Yes, and some people will actually enjoy it. Thus saith the Lord, you're being called into the harvest field. Your Nintendo Wii is not important. You must bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. No murmurers or complainers will make it through the wilderness. Stay out of those negative conversations. Spirits are transferred there. Be wise. Be vigilant. The devil wants to sift you as he did Peter. Well, he said, during this time I heard the song, How He Loves Us, by David Crowder. And then the song switched to Lose This Life by Tate. You must lose your life to self. Stick with the unleavened bread. Don't let the devil separate you from them, said the Lord. Be patient and kind with your wife. She has gifts that the body will need and use. Be wise in all things. I love you. Try hard to join the marriage feast. Join in, Brent, join. Then it ended. Well, that was pretty good. I like that. It's so true. This one we call Persecution from Brethren, Sean Lynch, 2009. I had a dream that I was being persecuted by my fraternity brothers. A fraternity is a Babylonish organization. When I was in college, I was in a fraternity that was founded upon Christian principles, but as with the church that has fallen away to Babylon's lusts, so has this fraternity. These represent apostate Christians who persecute their brothers and sisters during the tribulation. Yeah, they will be taken down in the great and terrible day of the Lord when the saints are taken up. Yeah. Matthew 24:10. And then many shall stumble, and shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And Luke 21:16. But you shall be delivered up, even by parents, and brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. During this trial, I saw many on each side of me who were persecuting me. And he gives Acts 4:25-28, who by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. What is the anointing, by the way? The Holy Spirit that we were just talking about. That is the anointing, which many have rejected. For of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, so there's the so-called people of God and the beast government, right? We're gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel foreordained to come to pass. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. History just repeats, right? I knew in the spirit that this was crucifixion that I had to endure. Well, as Jesus knew in the spirit that his hour had come, so will the people of God know when their cross is upon them. I felt an overwhelming grace rise up within me to resist the temptations to come down off the cross. Well, he wrote, the anointing of the latter rain will empower us to endure our trials. Yes. And that is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as you read about in the book of Acts. The same today. I then heard a brother from the fraternity tell me he felt sorry for me, and then I felt him embracing me and I him. Well, as it was in the days of Jesus, when our Lord was dying on the cross, there will be brothers who will see Jesus in us by our sacrifice and will embrace their own cross to the death. That's always that way. 1 John 3:16, hereby know we love because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Luke 23:42-43 says, and he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. Okay, we call this one Saints Accused of Being Traitors. Deborah Renier, 2008. In a dream, I found myself standing in the midst of a great mass of people. They consisted of all the ethnic groups and races on earth. In the middle of them, I saw a group of spirit-filled believers. They were praying in tongues, and it seemed that they couldn't stop praying. At first, the saints were unnoticed by the multitude surrounding them. These saints had Bibles which they were holding up and were shouting, stand on the word of Jesus, quote unquote. Suddenly this changed. The multitude began to call the saints traitors and heretics. They were saying that these saints and anyone who listened to them were not loyal to the government. People start worshiping the government, right? The mob then began to pick up rocks and hurl them at the saints. The saints started screaming, come quickly, Jesus, as they held their Bibles aloft. The saints were being knocked down. They were bruised and bleeding. And I watched as they all joined hands and began marching while singing psalms. Those opposing the saints continued to throw rocks and bottles at them. The saints kept on marching and singing loudly. I watched as those in the crowd began grabbing Bibles from the saints, saying they couldn't own them. I watched as they threw the Bibles into a fire, saying, "This is what our government thinks of your God." The saints began talking amongst themselves. They were saying, "It is time for us to go underground for a while." True, the time is coming. We need to be watchful at all times. Quote unquote. And then the populace said to the saints, "We will be watching for you and more of your kind, traitors." I then woke up and the Lord spoke, "This is upon you now." He then led me to these scriptures. You know, there's a large number of people who are saying the same thing about saints today. And they always have. It'll get worse in the tribulation. He then led me to these scriptures, Luke 21:34. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all of those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." That's why we need to be walking in heavenly places in Christ. That's where heavenly places are, abiding in Christ. The rest all walk on the earth. "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Psalm 31:23. "Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person." Okay, we call this one the government oppression of the church. Amos Skaggs, 2009. "I heard there is a time coming when the gospel will be taught with permission only, and that gospel will not have the power to save." Yes, that's just the way it was in the really dark days of the Soviet Union and China. Same thing. Yes, you can preach, but you can't preach this, you can't preach that. Don't talk about the blood, blah, 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 you know. "So I saw the true gospel taught in fields, under trees, along fence lines. This is not the mainstream church." Yes, and the underground church will be very lively and full of the Spirit, and the above ground church will be totally infiltrated by the beast and the harlot. And we call this one Escaping Tribulation Authorities, GC, 2008. "I dreamed I was in the town where I now live. It was nighttime, and the city seemed empty. I had this feeling that it was a bleak time in America, and I realized this was the tribulation. There was an underground Christian leadership that broadcasted messages to other Christians. In this part of the country, Vincent Xavier, a brother who represents the man-child, was one of the teachers." Yes, we know Vincent. He's a good guy. Vincent means to conquer, and Xavier means new house or bright in the Bible. Bright, born-again conqueror is what I would interpret that to mean, a bright, born-again conqueror. "And whenever he began to speak on the airwaves, the authorities would go nuts." Yes, Vincent used to, I don't know if he still does, but he used to rebroadcast a lot of our stuff. And I think we'll see him again. On this particular night, I was in the city and able to receive the broadcast. The authorities were aware of the broadcast, and they had special equipment that allowed them to zero in on the source of the broadcast. Well, they have technology that tracks and spies on people, of course. They searched the whole city for this man, but it was all for nothing because he was not in the city. He was in the outlying areas miles away from the city in the wilderness. Yes. I was standing in the street, and the police officers who were looking for him or other Christians saw me, and one told me to freeze. I told him I was not doing anything wrong, but he knew I was a Christian. I was totally submissive to his authority and did not try to fight him, but he pointed his taser at me and said he was going to shoot me. I repeated that I was not in rebellion and that there was no need to fire upon me. I pleaded with him not to shoot me with the taser because I was obeying orders. I knew that he was determined to fire upon me. That is when the Lord said to me, "Do not be afraid. Let him do what he is determined to do." At that moment, I had total peace, and I calmed down, and I received the word of the Lord. And then the policeman fired the taser, and it struck me in the chest, and I began to zap me. I was laying on the ground and shaking violently, and although it was painful, it was not as painful as I had imagined it would be. Once the officer shot me, he grabbed me and handcuffed me. Another officer came and they took me to a base high in the mountains. I had the peace of the Lord upon me during the whole captivity. I was handcuffed and the whole time and didn't know how I would escape. Soon after arriving there, the guards walked into the other room, and the Lord did something miraculous. I had the power to disappear, and I slid out of the handcuffs. And that is when I walked out of the building. I was in awe of what just happened, and I thought those cops were going to be so surprised. And then the dream ended. Yeah, Bob Accardi had a dream just almost like that. Same thing. He walked out of the building, and they didn't even see him. And he said Jesus disappeared from their midst several times by the angels, John 8:59, John 10:39, and Luke 4:30. In the tribulation ahead, saints will be protected, and the angels will translate disciples out of harm's way and situations of captivity like Peter, Acts 12:1-11. Now, about that time, Herod the king put forth his hands to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. Amen. We're coming to those days again, right? And when he had taken him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but prayed and was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. Prayers were made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and guards before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the cell, and he smote Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did so. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed, and he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, in other words, he was somewhat, not understanding what was going on, he said, "Now I know of a truth that the Lord has sent forth his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all of the expectation of the people of the Jews." And Acts 12 and 18 says, "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter." Mm-hmm. Okay, we call this one "Lose Life to Gain Life." Jennifer Giamio. In a dream, I was set in what appeared to be medieval time. There were nobles and peasants. Nobles are the rich, demon-possessed landowners like those who rule the people today, the beast. The peasants are the poor in spirit, those who serve having no worldly rights of their own. Matthew 5 and 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There were some peasants who worked alongside the nobles. It was clear that they were doing this so they would be accepted by the nobles or be counted as on their side. If anything ever went wrong, in other words, right? So many Christians seek the favor of the rich politicians and the lawmakers, but not God. One character who clearly stood out to me was a heavy-set man, and I thought right away that he was a friar. Well, apostate religious leaders seek political power and favor of the beast, right? He was always working with the nobles behind the scenes. The false prophet always seeks the favor of the beast, but not the Lord, of course. The peasants were getting fearful as information started to leak out that the nobles were going to eliminate all the peasants. Well, just as in Revelation 13 says of the Christians, they either become members of the beast through the mark, or they will attempt to kill them. They only wanted the nobles to exist. In other words, that's all we want. There was panic everywhere. The nobles started to torture and kill the peasants, and you could see the bodies placed up for everyone to see. Well, that's a coming persecution of the poor of this world in the tribulation. It's coming just as it has in the past. History repeats. I was walking along a path, not fearful at all of all the nobles seeing me, and saw that the heavy-set friar was talking to two nobles. They were up on what seemed to be a platform. In other words, they were exalted. Their mission was exalted. It was clear that he thought he would be spared these atrocities since he had worked with them. Well, the apostate religious leaders are Judases and will betray their people like the harlot. They will curry the favor of the beast in hopes of saving their own life in this world. The noble in front of him leaned in as to whisper something, and then I saw the friar's face change. I knew he was being tortured by the painful expression I saw on his face. I kept walking, but as I was about to pass, I saw the nobles push him, and he was in something like a hanging cage. I saw that they had disemboweled him, as his intestines were hanging out and swinging behind him. Well, the harlot is used by the beast until they have served their purpose, and as it has been throughout history, but the beast shall devour the harlot. We know that. Then I appeared to be at some sort of game. The nobles had all the peasants dressed in silly costumes and playing some kind of sport, kind of like the Roman games in the Colosseums, right? They were doing this as entertainment for themselves. I looked down and saw that I was in a costume and felt a voice inside saying to me, "Take off the costume and run." So the costume is that which makes us appear to be as sons of men, when in reality we are sons of God. Kind of like Joseph, you know, when he appeared to his brethren as an Egyptian, but underneath the makeup, it was Joseph. Romans 8 and 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. Romans 13 and 11 says, "And this knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Some people like to blend in with the beast and the beastly people because they find favor that way. But the Lord is saying, stand up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be what you need to be in these end times. It doesn't matter if they kill you. Heaven isn't bad, right? There was nowhere to hide, but I did as I was told. I stepped back a bit, so I was beside this shed and took off the costume. Unmasking, right? Putting off the sinful nature of this world and willing to be different than the world and to lose our life. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, as the friar did. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Of what shall a man give in exchange for his life?" Many people are bribed into wanting to blend in, you know, to prosper in the world, right? But the Lord says, nope, suffer the cross. I looked behind me to where I was supposed to run and saw there was a wilderness in the near distance. I knew I had to get to that wilderness and I would be safe. Well, it's the place of God's provision and protection from the tribulations of Egypt, right? They were fleeing the Egyptians, fleeing the Egyptian army. There was one man that worked for the nobles who was right at the edge of this wilderness, but he was in the middle of a task. I knew I had to just go even though he was there. At that moment, a girl came up by me and said she wanted to be saved too. I told her to take her costume off and we would run to the wilderness. Amen. In other words, to trust in God's salvation, right? At this point, I was at a different vantage point, and I saw the girl come up to me. But the really weird part is that I saw a male talking to her and telling her to take her costume off. So that means that I was the male. And after Jennifer took the costume off, it was Christ in her doing the speaking and telling the girl to put off the old life. Then I was back in the situation and looking to go to the wilderness, and then I woke up. Well, in a corporate sense, we're almost there, you know. But individually, we all ought to be walking in our wilderness, right? And I asked the Lord for some revelation for the dream, and I opened to Revelation 12, 13, and 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And that's 3.5 years, of course. So, escaping the Inquisition in America is what we call this, and it was given by Anonymous on 2008. Shortly after lunch on April 15, 2008, heaviness came upon my spirit, and I sought the Lord and did spiritual warfare for a day, but found no peace. I asked him for scripture, and the only scripture that kept coming to my head was Matthew 2:7-8, where Herod told the wise men to go and find the Messiah and come back and tell him where he was so that he might go and worship him. This, of course, was a total lie, and his intent was to kill Jesus. And when the wise men did not return, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to slaughter all the male children 2 years and younger. So, a secret plot to kill the immature body of Christ, right, is what is implied here. And when the Lord gave me this verse, I knew to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. And I started going through my list of acquaintances, still got no revelation. I prayed through the whole afternoon and went to bed exhausted around 11 p.m., but could not sleep. The heaviness became worse. At about 5 a.m., I was so tired and still had no revelation, so I begged God once again to give me a dream or a vision according to Joel chapter 2, so that I would know how to pray. I was half asleep, then I was immediately on the street at a busy intersection. I did not know exactly where, except I knew it was in America. A police officer was in the intersection, holding on to a young man with a vice grip on his elbow. The police officer was interrogating the young man, but I could not hear what was being said. In the vision, my view changed to surveying the street, but I always came back to focus on this police officer holding the young man's elbow in such a way that I could see that it hurt him. The young man was not Caucasian, Black, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, or from the Far East, but his face looked like a mixture of all these ethnicities. His skin was somewhat darker, and he had curly, short, dark brown hair. Every time I saw him, his face radiated light, joy, and love, in spite of the bad treatment he was being put through. So that's a composite of Christians under the world beast system, right? Then I saw the police officer roughly lead the young man into a large American-style church. He did not take him into the main sanctuary, but into a large room that was next to the sanctuary. Well, the beast system in America and the world, actually, will demand that the true Christians submit to the harlot corporate religious system because it's totally captured, right? Just as it was in Jesus' day, and the false prophets will demand the death of those who don't follow the beast system and covenant harlot system. I was aware that there were others in the room at this time, but I did not see them. Then the police officer pulled a curly reddish brown faux fur like animal costume up over the man's shoulders and then over his head. In other words, he was submitted unto the beast, right? The bringing the Christians under the covering of the beast is the house of the harlot. And as soon as the fake animal fur came up over the back of his head to the crown of his hair, I saw a vapor-like power come from the right and massacre the young man with his body parts flying everywhere. Well, the spirit of anti-Christian persecution, just like anti-Semitic persecution of the past under Caesar, Pilate, Hitler, etc., the world beast will help the people to be crucified of their members. What does that mean? Okay, well, we'll read on here. He said, I then looked into the room and people were being dismembered everywhere. The room was dimly lit. At the far wall was a window about 4 feet by 4 feet with light coming into the room. I saw body parts flying, so they were silhouetted against the light of the lower portion of the window. The last scene was surreal. Silhouetted in the center of the lighted window was a large dismembered hand with the fingers spread apart. This picture was black and white and was emblazoned on my mind, similar to the pictures I saw at the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. Well, notice that the emphasis over and over is of this composite man being dismembered. Members of the body of Christ must be crucified to sin, to remain members of the new man. Colossians 3 and 5 says, Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Speaking to the members, right? For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. We cannot enter the kingdom with sinful members. Matthew 5 and 29. And if thy right eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand causeth thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body go into hell. Those members who are not crucified to sin will be dismembered to become members of the house of the harlot. 1 Corinthians 6 and 15 says, Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Or know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For the twain, saith he, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Then I heard a voice state, The Inquisition is coming to America. And the vision was over. The heaviness lifted. Well, this will start pretty much in the middle of the tribulation, at the time of the mark of the beast in Revelation 13. Okay, we call this one Saints Dying During the Tribulation. This is an anonymous sister in Africa, 2012. I wrote down this dream shortly after I woke up. I have been listening to UBM teaching since 2007, and all this time I have not listened to end time teachings because I wanted to grow in the Lord first. And since there is a lot of interpretation on when and what will happen, I decided to wait on the Lord to teach me on the subject. And I dreamt we were a group of UBM members in Israel. And I believe that represents the church, right, according to the way Paul spoke. But outside the city. So outside the bride, which is the capital city. But still saved, right? This does not mean this sister will not be in the bride. This is for our teaching, right? So we were in something that I believe was an ark or a boat floating on air. The spiritual ark of abiding in Christ probably is being implied here. It was clear and oval-shaped, divided into a top and a bottom section. So this ark represents those who are in heavenly places in Christ to one extent or another, but not in the heavenly city that the angel called the bride in Revelation 21, 9 and 10. Part of us were on the upper level, while some were on the lower level. I was with a group of those who were on the upper level. And then the group on the lower level detached from us and went to heaven, still inside their part of the ark. So those on the lower level of the spiritual ark will die first and go to heaven. And the remaining part, he said, on the upper level kept floating in air. So in other words, in heavenly places in Christ, right? I kept seeing a vision of us taken to heaven repeatedly. Well, let me say, some will die and go to heaven and not be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, but will come with him. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope, because heaven ain't bad, right? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There they are. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and that are left unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. Well, notice that this has a larger spectrum of fulfillment being used here, obviously, because there are people dying from this time all the way up until the end when the what they call the rapture happens. So, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So I became worried because the UBM members I was with thought we were being transported to some city or hiding place, so I told them that we were also going to heaven in a few days. Ooh. Well, some people, you know, think they're going to escape, you know, in a rapture, but that's not necessarily so. Because one is in UBM does not mean they will escape death any more than being in the church makes one in the bride. But this is what we have taught those in UBM who do not enter the bride, the spiritual city of Jerusalem. They will die in the Lord and go to heaven at different times during the tribulation. Okay, so no, not everybody will die. Some will be growing up during that time and be alive and remain, right? So they will die either to the judgments or as martyrs. In other words, we all have to die. If you die to self, you're not under the curse and you don't have to physically die. That's the facts. Okay. So some will die as martyrs, which is an honorable and rewardable death. And this is spoken in Revelation 6 and 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And there was given them to each one a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, until their fellow servants also and their brethren who should be killed, even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. So we see here that the two groups of saved martyrs, also we see that a soul to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says, We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Are you willing? If you're not willing to lose your life, you're not going to take any chances. You're not going to take the mask off, so to speak, right? So in my vision, there was a Christian lady I called Millicent in real life, but her actual name is Andrea, which has a meaning of manly or like man, who was not part of UBM, but was on the ground underneath the ark. And every time we were transported to heaven, she remained. So she's on the ground, but underneath the ark, right? She remained. So those who are like man are not in the ark and cannot go to heaven. Seeing that we were not ready to go to heaven, I told them in the visions, every time we are transported, Andrea remains. So we should find a way to secure ourselves to her so that we may not be transported to heaven, since whatever transports us is very much more powerful than us and seems to be a powerful wind. So just because you are in a family of saved people does not mean that you can be saved, right? And there are people that are associated with the Christians that are not saved, and they won't be transported. I then advised them to cast concrete on her with bolts and anchor so our ark to her, so that we might get transported when the time came. We did so, but when the time came, the ark detached from her, and we got transported to heaven, and she remained. Okay, so no matter what we do for those outside of the ark, they will remain earthly. That's where they were, on the earth, underneath, right? Unless they learn to abide in Jesus, who is our ark, it doesn't matter if they call themselves Christian or not. Only if they are faith-filled disciples, right? I heard the word cancer, and I also heard the number 60, and I thought of a man I know who is 53 years old now, and I thought it could happen when he is 60. This man was also part of the UBM group that was on the top section. In real life, he is a pastor. Well, 7 years from 11/16/2012, which was this time, would bring us close to the beginning of the period when many began dying of cancer of the vax in 2020. Another dream I had in the early hours of 11/17/12, this time I was observing from a distance, and it was not yet time to be transported to heaven, but it was to happen very soon. The UBM group was staying in one place, and this time they knew that they were about to go to heaven and were excited to be leaving. Yeah, amen. Andrea was still not going to be transported to heaven. I think this dream is related to another one that I had on 7/15/11, a week before my sister went to heaven. My sister was sick. I had a dream that I was in the town where I currently live, facing northwest, when I saw Jesus Christ in the clouds behind me. He told me that my sister had to come home, and that she was one of the clouds of witnesses. I saw a round golden light ascending to heaven, representing my sister's soul. And as I looked further, I saw the rest of Africa from where I was standing. There were other gold lights ascending to heaven. Well, many lost their immune system and became sick of various illnesses because of that, from the 2020 vax on, right? I saw a few from Zambia, and a lot of them from regions around Nigeria, Ghana, representing saints going to heaven. And when I woke up, I kept wondering if the rapture would happen during my lifetime. since Jesus Christ mentioned that my sister was one of the clouds of witnesses. Well, this dream is related because we see the saints going home through deaths of various kinds and in different places. The rapture will follow the saints' deaths from various things when this finished, because the dead in Christ rise first. Well, I know that this is not the main interpretation of this verse, but it is true. Many will die before the rapture, right? Many will die between here and there for one reason or another, persecution, vaxes, whatever, you know, chemtrails or whatever, you know. Many will die between here and there when the rapture happens, which is at the end, since the rapture has to incorporate everybody that is a Christian. They can't have it at the beginning of the tribulation, or somebody wouldn't go. I don't know if I remember this song in the dream or when I woke up. It's a song of my language, and it goes like this. When Jesus Christ comes back, the saints on earth will meet him in the clouds, accompanied with people dressed in white, and those coming from earth will ask, "Who are they?" And Jesus will reply, "Those I have washed in the blood." Well, amen. Well, we call this Hide Under the Atonement, GC 2008. A brother, David, and I were inside a trailer or RV fellowshipping. And I think this represents our temporary home in the wilderness, right? Then something caught the brother's attention, and he looked back through the window and saw the wind kicking up and debris flying around. There was a tornado taking shape in the far distance. I ran outside to see it for myself. As I looked through the open expanse of the field, I saw a huge pillar of wind coming towards us. It was a very big tornado, and it was heading towards us very fast. Well, in other words, approaching the judgments, tribulation, and persecutions from the world, right? Then we all ran outside the trailer and started to make our way into the woods and look for shelter. In other words, leaving what is to us only temporary homes to go deeper into the wilderness tribulation to find our permanent shelter in Christ. All of us should be going into our wilderness, a separation from the world and its ways and its methods and its provision, to walk with the Lord in the wilderness and see his miracles. As I was running, I heard David say to all of us, "You have to go and get under the atonement," quote unquote, which did not register to me in the dream because there was so much confusion and we were all scrambling to run to the woods. And after I woke up, I knew exactly what David meant and why he said that. Well, the atonement is our covering from the curses of this world. Jesus bore the penalty for our sins and provided all for us at the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree,' that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Well, Jesus, who is the Word, is our Passover lamb that we must eat in order to escape the destroying angel in Exodus 12. And according to this chapter, we read that we must eat the Word and cast the added leaven of man's ideas out of our houses to escape. And eating the word, of course, is the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. I call this hide in deep waters. This is a revelation given to me. I had a dream years ago. I saw a group of Christians running from a dragon. At first, they were in a house. And when they were discovered by the dragon, they ran to a cave. And they were discovered by the dragon again. So they ran out the back to a body of water. They jumped into the water next to the bank to escape the dragon. Then they got a revelation that they must get out into the deep water or the dragon could step on them. The interpretation: the dragon is the beast of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation in Revelation 12. The Christians left their homes for more primitive hiding facilities, the primitive word of God, which is the water, according to Paul in Ephesians 5 and 26. The shallow water will not protect from the coming beast, only the deep waters that put to death the old man. The deep waters cover not only the feet, but also the head. There are some who do not walk in sin, but their mind is not renewed to believe that Jesus bore the curse, as we see in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Protection is only going to come from getting into the deep waters of the Word and believing what it says, like Psalm 91 or Psalm 34. Bob Accardi had a dream of Christians who were being taught by their pastors how to commit suicide in the shallow waters of the Word. None were dying in the deep waters. It's committing spiritual, eternal suicide if you don't get into the deep waters enough to put to death your heart, your mind, your actions, right? Okay, we call this one escaping the tribulation, falling away. This was given to David DePace in 2006. I had this dream a little more than 3 years ago, and about a month before we left the Pentecostal church we had been in for 13 years. At that time, I had asked for a sign from the Lord to show me when to leave the church, and He gave me this dream and a confirmation shortly after. It was the most clear and vivid dream I think I have ever had. Perhaps it may be that the Lord has brought it to mind again for a particular reason. Yes, of course, to help us share in His experience here. So in the dream, I was getting ready to join a health club to get my body in shape. And I think that's seeking to get rid of flesh and mature in the strength of the Lord. I knew that the condition of my legs was okay. I'm a runner in real life, but I wanted to work on strengthening the rest of my body too. So I said to him, "Your walk with God is strong, but you are interested in strengthening the rest of your life in God." I went into the health club to join, but was surprised to see that it was closed. Well, this represents the door to your old church, which is supposed to be for strengthening your life in God, will be closed to you. Clubs are memberships and places where you pay dues like tithes and offerings. And the true gospel is freely given. And when I came back outside, I saw that the day had turned into night. again, I sent this interpretation to him, okay? The day had turned into night. The time of darkness has come in the world, in other words. Astonished, I looked at my watch, and it was 9:45 a.m. I didn't understand what was happening, and I looked up at the sky and saw many stars, more than I was usually able to see from where I live. Well, apparently, in this transition time, you are coming to terms with the fact that there are many other Christians outside the traditional church with whom you are associated. UPC people are pretty narrow-minded about that. They are the ones that are saved, filled with the Spirit, and so on and so forth, right? So down near the horizon, I saw stars that were arranged to spell out several words, something about power, but I could not see it clearly. Well, stars are called Abraham's seed. Christians who have the need for strength or power so that they may mount up high in heavenly places to be seated with Christ. The horizon is where earth, fleshly living in other words, meets the heavens. So we have another clue here that there are many Christians living too close to the world. They could get allured by the gravity and begin to fall to the earth. In Revelation 6 and 13, and the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her unripe figs when she is shaken of a great wind. Well, a great wind is coming, and there will be a falling away. I noticed that my pastor and one of the elders were close by, and they were also looking at the words and talking about what they might mean. I went over to them and asked the pastor what it said, and he said, power to the people. Well, the people, as stars, need to be strengthened in the way of disciples of Christ do. His works follow him, so to speak. Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power when that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I know those people. Their life is church. They go to church. That's their life. They go to church, they go home. They go to church, they go home. Right? But this is to go out and be witnesses. They should not rely on just the pastor to be their Lord and do everything as in the Laodicean church. When he said this, I took note that he spoke it quickly and in a gruff manner, as though he did not like what was said. This fits his character perfectly, though as his manner up until the point had always been for him to have all the authority and control over the people by himself. Well, many pastors are like kings over their assemblies, as in Ezekiel 34. This reminds me of Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12 and 13. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him. And they are power and glory-hungry Nicolaitan clergymen, alike Saul, represented in 1 Samuel 8 and 11. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. The king also took tithes. Well, after this, I called one of my church brothers on my cell phone to talk to him about what was happening, and I knew that he was very interested in end-time events, and I was convinced that this was an end-time event. He was not available. And I said to him, your separation from an apostate assembly is what's being called here. But as I was on the phone, I looked up at the moon and noticed that it had turned into a clock that looked like a huge pocket watch with gold and Roman numerals, and it began to spin. So, we must seek God's strength to grow from star glory to moon glory while there is time. It is gold because it is very valuable time. Soon a third of the star glory Christians will lose their position in the heavenlies and fall to the earth. That's the great falling away. Rome is involved in this time because the revived Roman Empire is coming to maturity, first as the dragon and then as the beast, to cause this great falling away. It was spinning around very rapidly. It was as if it was on a north-south axis like the earth. Then it began to move out of the sky to where I was standing and stopped right in front of me. I'm thinking, I said, this is a reminder to you that every spin of the earth is a day in time lost before it runs out. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. By the time it reached me, it was about 8 feet tall. So the eighth beast kingdom is the last when the falling away happens. So these people will go into the day of the Lord on the eighth day slash year. Some people only know that there are 7 day years at the end, but there's not. There's eight. The eighth one is the day of the Lord, and it comes after the tribulation. It is a judgment upon the wicked, and a judgment upon the wicked that persecuted God's people. I reached out as if instinctively and touched it with my finger, which sank into it as though it was liquid. The people who were standing by watching this were dumbfounded. They seemed afraid of it and were amazed that I had the boldness to actually touch it, though I had no fear in doing this. Well, we're not afraid of the future, are we? No. People whose heart is not right with God, they fear the future. They'd like to stay where they are today, you know. The time, I said to him, the time that each of us has left to mature is fluid and cannot be tied down. Some will be martyred in the middle of the tribulation or after. Others will die by one of the plagues. Some fear to know about these things and would prefer a pre-trib rapture, of course. But they've been deceived, and they're not getting prepared to stand against the beast and the harlot in the tribulation. The next thing I knew, which seemed like a couple of minutes, it was like light again for a second time, and everything seemed normal. Then suddenly the light for a second time turned into darkness. Well, some star glory Christians lose power through dead religion, darkness. And he went on to say, by not overcoming sins, by using the promises of the word. Amen. That's true. He said, and in the darkness, I could see a familiar sister in my church, the pastor's daughter, pulling a loaded cart. She was very overweight and weak and appeared to be struggling to pull the cart. Well, the Pharisees were loading the people down with heavy weights, but they wouldn't touch it with their little finger. You know, that's what Jesus said. This represents those born of this pastor overcome by flesh and heavy laden with their sins and weak in the faith. Are they prepared? No, they're not prepared. They're not getting prepared. Very soon it became light again for a third time. Then a third time it became dark, but this time the darkness came as a shadow, creeping along the ground very ominously. Well, this third darkness speaks of the tribulation to come, I believe. I said to him, and I knew again, as if instinctively, that the nature of this darkness was different, very profound, and that it was powerful enough to envelope the whole earth. I could feel the power of it, and that was something unsettling. I knew this event would affect everyone in the world, and that nobody would escape it. Yes, that is true. This is where the dream ended. The tribulation is ordained for all the inhabitants of the earth, according to the scriptures. And although some will escape through judgments, like the Philadelphia church, they will still go through the tribulation, but spiritually seated in heavenly places with Christ, no pre-trib rapture, right? You know, some will leave, you know, through death and through judgments, and some will be like the Philadelphia church, who escapes all these things coming upon the earth, right? This is not a flight to heaven, by the way. These are overcomers, right? And we call this losing rights under the beast. Bill Steenland, 2013. And my notes, God's people will ultimately lose all rights and political power with which they have been in idolatry. They will see God as their only hope and his provision in the wilderness refuge. You say, you question that now because it seems like Christians have political power, right? So, in this first dream, I was in a courtroom. There were five or six judges debating something and kicking a man out of the courtroom. Christians will lose all legal rights in this world. God will be their only resource. His power is made perfect in our worldly weakness, hence the wilderness. I wasn't part of the actual trial, but I was in the back with David and a very kind elderly black lady who said that Nebuchadnezzar, her relative, was taking the stand next. Okay, this is just like the three Hebrews who went into the fire because they lost their rights and refused to bow to the beast. Our Nebuchadnezzar, whose elderly black lady relative is known, will also testify against them, but God will defend us like he defended them in the seven times hotter fiery tribulation, right? The three Hebrews stood with the Lord, and he preserved them through the fire. Laws will be decreed that will make conscientious Christians outlaws. Christians will lose businesses, jobs, rights, and financial support from the government. You see, you have to get prepared to walk by faith. Yeah. How could this happen when we are in such a political revival? Read Revelation 13. It's just 3.5 years into the tribulation when the beast makes war on the saints. This is a false security that people have in politics, right? I said, oh, wow, he was one of my favorite characters to study, Nebuchadnezzar, right? Or something like that. He was a wonderful example of God's power to save the beast when God's servants bore their cross. That's true. But the Babylonian beast is being conquered, right? Mm-hmm. So down the row of chairs was David. He had drawn a big boat, an ark, on the wall. Well, God has a boat or an ark of refuge in the wilderness for his people. And the word of God, standing on the word of God, is how you get there. He went on to say he was explaining something, but there was so much going on I couldn't hear. Well, it's like Joseph was. The Davids will be a refuge for the people who flee the persecution and the economic collapse. To David in the wilderness were gathered those who were in debt because of the economy and discontented with the demon-possessed Saul ministry, etc., etc. 1 Samuel 22 and 2 says, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Yep. He went on to say, "A lizard called a bearded dragon was on the ground, and I was trying to grab it, but I couldn't." And that was the end of the dream. Well, I said this represents the persecution of the saints at the hands of the dragon beast, and that we need our refuge for those who are whose rights the government revokes, right? So there's a time for everything, okay? In the next dream, I was in a kind of children's room reading a children's book about Jesus. Well, Jesus said to the spiritual children that they belong to the kingdom. And we know its book, the Bible, is also theirs, right? He went on to say there was another book that was not a children's book, and I was also reading. Well, the Bible becomes every need to the children. And those who are mature in the faith, it's all things to all men. It becomes the answer to every need. The part I was reading was about healing. It said there were 12 ways someone can be healed. Well, I thought 12 is the number of the elect for whom the children's bread is healing and deliverance, according to Jesus, that the world will no longer supply, right? See, people rely on the world, they walk in the flesh, they do all these things besides walking as he walked. If anyone says they abide in him, they must walk as he walked. That's what the scripture says. And therefore, we're called to a faith walk in the wilderness of man's provision, man's ideas, man's religion, a wilderness of those things. In other words, they're not found there. Okay, number one, these 12 things, right? Prayer, yes. Number two, laying on of hands, etc. I didn't get to read that part, but I was in the children's book about Jesus, and it said Jesus was here, here, and here. Okay, so that's that we may know where to find him, like the Shunammite asked, where does he feed his flock? And the answer was, beside the shepherd's tents. Notice it's not in the shepherd's tents, beside the shepherd's tents. Someone had written in the book, Jesus, I want to know him, or how do I know him? Well, we who want to know Jesus, read the book. And it's given so that we may know him. I became very happy and excited, probably about knowing the Lord and where to find him, right? My brother asked, what's up? I jumped and I told him about how the Lord healed my leg and how the Lord is a healer. He got excited and said, that's awesome. So basically spreading the children's bread by testimony, right? My mother came into the room and she had a cold, and my brother Jim and his girlfriend Jessica and I laid hands on her, commanding her to be healed. Well, the healing ministry to our spiritual and physical relatives, right? The next thing you know, I was in the bathroom with blue soap and shampoo all over my face, head and neck. I could barely recognize my face. Well, heavenly cleansing, the blue I think represents heavenly cleansing through the gospel of seeing Jesus' face, mind, submissive life, and power in the mirror, right? That's how we receive it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Where do you get the true revelation of what that looks like? Well, of course, you get it in the Word. You find out what is the glory of the Lord, what makes up the glory of the Lord. So, going back to read it again, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And we already talked about what the glory is. We are transformed from star glory to moon glory and to sun glory, according to the Apostle Paul, right? And that's as we behold his true face in the mirror, right? Many people don't have a revelation of his true face, of who he is, and they're being transformed into a Jesus, all right, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. The only way you find out who the Jesus of the Bible is, not by looking at the preacher with his black suit on, right, or what he teaches or how he does things. Jesus didn't care for those natural things. He would sit on a rock and teach his disciples, right? We need to know the Jesus of the Bible, because looking at that face in the mirror is how we're transformed into that face, right? And from glory to glory, we grow up into him. We're not here to replicate the preachers or religions. We are here to replicate Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the only hope of glory. This is why you get in the Word, to find out who Jesus was and become a disciple. A disciple means, Mathetes, a learner and a follower. They're studying the Master to walk in his steps. Those disciples were called Christians because they were walking in his steps. They sounded just like him. They did the same miracles he did. And that's, of course, the Jesus we need to know. You don't get that in Bible school. You get that from the Lord in the Bible. And we learn how to walk as he walked. Yes, it's not popular. Jesus went into the churches of his day, and eventually he got thrown out of them. And if Jesus walked into a church today, he gets thrown out of it too. So you have to be willing to be separated from the pack mentality, you know, and walking with Jesus and speaking his word and not departing from his word will get you in trouble with these people. But that's okay, because whatever persecution you endure, it will just be towards your making, right? Praise be to God. Well, Father, we expect to endure some things. By the grace of God, as we study the word, we will have that covering of the Passover lamb, which is very important. If you want to stay alive to tell people about the word, you must first understand that Jesus bore your curse for you, right? And that when you go through these trials, not necessarily like one of the revelations said, defending yourself with your own power, but trusting in the Lord, right? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing for us, for giving us understanding from these revelations given to brothers and sisters. And thank you so much, Lord, that you're good to us. You are going to finish the good work that you started in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. Lord bless you and keep you. Bye-bye.